You're listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network on bingemedia.net. And now, the Binge Aftertaste.
Welcome to the Binge Aftertaste. I'm BingeMedia.net. I am Moreno, here with the Garrett Collins.
Moreno, it has been a while, sir.
It has been quite a while.
It's been over a month.
Well, we are the workhorses of BingeMedia.net, and we deserve a little break.
Well, not all of it was a break. I mean, you know, we tried putting together a show last time, and just to give people a little idea, part of it was, you know, my fault. Part of it was a thing called the spam folder's fault.
Ooh.
But I think all of it was on Moreno. I think all of it's – most of it's on
– I carry the weight of the world on my shoulder, sir.
Yeah. It's all your fault. No, we had bad miscommunication last time, and we weren't able to get the show together. But the guest we got, I'm excited for, and he's all set to do the show tonight. So we're going to get him on a little bit. But we thought beforehand we'd me and you actually, we went on a, you know, we're not only the workhorses, Marino. We actually have lives too.
That's right, we do. You forget that sometimes.
Every once in a while, we kind of forget. I took a nice little trip to Hawaii, and you went to New York,
mm-hmm.
and good times were had.
Two tropical lands.
Yes, positively. All those skyscrapers.
That's right.
Did you do any midnight ocean diving? Like we did?
No. I mean, if you mean me just drinking my face off until 4 o'clock in the morning, then yes, I did. Midnight ocean diving, huh?
Yeah, we went to Hawaii. We went to Maui, and mm-hmm. we stayed at a resort. My mother got married out there.
Nice.
And, yeah, it was really, really nice ceremony and everything. They had like a beach, they had a sunset beach wedding. It was just a beautiful, beautiful ceremony. But we, you know, we were getting to know our in-laws or our step family for the very first time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like, now I know how you guys feel when you talk to like distinguished people. And like, you know, my step family, they're just such great people. They're, you know, one's an architectural engineer. Another one's a personal trainer. And she's a nutritionist. And they all, you know, they went to the legit colleges and everything. Now, all we did was talk about drinking and drink, and then at midnight decide, let's go in the ocean. So we go in the ocean, and we come back and go in the spa, and then get kicked out of the spa.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it was a bunch of evenings of that going on. That went on for 5 straight nights, and me and you are both kind of feeling it because now we are our voices are pretty much
done. We are both hampered with horrible sinus infections. It's the fucking worst.
Just to give people an idea, Moreno calls me right before we get the show going, and the very first thing he says is, boy, we both sound like shit.
I've basically been like this since I landed back in Chicago about 4 days ago or so.
Yeah.
It's been the fucking worst.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's like my chick's mom says, it's, you know, a lot of hard work to have fun.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have the price to pay, and I'm fine with paying this price. Totally fine with it.
Positively. Positively. Well, speaking of paying the price, we're about ready to add our other
on the line here. Hey, Jason.
Yo, what's up, guys?
The lovely Jason Morris, as always.
The lovely Jason Morris is on the line.
I'm here, the one and only of many.
The healthy-sounding Jason Morris. We were just talking about how both of us are being hampered by horrible sinus infections.
Oh, you want to talk sinus infections?
Oh, no.
Did I open Pandora's box here? What happened?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So we were up renovating this cabin because we got the shoot. This happened in like 3 weeks, right?
Yeah.
Big shot.
Every time I go up there, I have this weird allergic reaction, and like my nose just closes up where I can't breathe. Oh, I like dry up like a sponge, and I can't stay up there more than a day. So I went to an allergy like specialist the other day, and they gave me something called a scratch test where they like poke me 40 fucking times.
Oh, Jesus.
On my arms, injecting me with like various different allergens, and I'm allergic to like 90% of the shit they put in my arms. So I look like I had like mini muscles all over my arms. I just like these like splotches of red bubbles all over the fucking place on my arms. And the doc walks in, he's like, Oh wow. You're okay. Yeah, you have a lot of allergies.
You need to be quarantined.
Yeah, thank.
Could you have found this out before?
I always knew I had like hay fever and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
You know, like normal shit, but I guess like you know I'm severe.
So are you okay now?
Yeah, I'm okay. I mean, he'll give me a bunch of like different things to like do and try and shit like that. But man, it's miserable. So I'm going up there tomorrow, and we'll see how well I do.
what are you shooting up there?
A movie called Collapse.
Oh, you guys are actually. Did you guys get the cast going for that and everything?
Yeah, we're working on that right now.
Okay, sweet. I tried to help you guys out with that a little bit before I left.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did you talk to Edward or something?
Yeah, I spoke to Edward about it.
He doesn't communicate very well. but we'll talk about that a little bit later, Garrett.
Yeah.
We'll try to fill you in.
Yeah, Marino, me and Morris are going to have to kick you off here.
Oh.
About an hour.
He's more than welcome to listen, but it'll probably get really boring.
That's all right. Well, you guys ready for our guest here?
Oh, hello, hello.
Adam Simon, welcome to the Binge Aftertaste on BingeMedia.net, sir.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so freaking honored to be here.
It's great, man.
I thought he was going to say, I am so hungover right now.
You have a little bit of feedback, bud. Can you turn down the feedback a little bit?
Oh yeah. Let's see. How do we
the is that feedback better? Button?
Better? Is there?
That's good.
Yeah, that's perfect.
All right, Adam. Wow. It's been a long time, man. I met you what, about 5 months ago now?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I think it was like 5 or 6 months ago. I was with Rob. I'm actually in this. I wanted to show you guys. I don't know how it would affect the quality if I turned on my video and showed you where I am.
Oh.
I'm gonna do it so you can see my face. I hope this doesn't affect the audio quality, but here we go. I'm gonna try it.
We've seen Moreno's ass plenty of times on this show. Don't worry about it.
And it's been fantastic. Yeah.
There he is.
So let me show you what this is. I'm with Rob. Rob just left. I'm at this bunker, this warehouse. Rob Pryor has been commissioned by the band Shinedown to work on this. They're doing a documentary about their music and how their music influences art, and they're doing this really creative, like kind of like Metallica did that movie.
Some kind of monster,
based on their music. Yeah, Some Kind of Monster. So they're doing kind of a similar thing. So check this out. There's all this artwork. This is my personal favorite.
Oh, that's rad.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
Very cool. I don't know if you see.
Yeah.
Resemblance.
Yeah.
But this is the band Shinedown. Mm-hmm. So Rob's doing that, and then this artwork as well. So all of this artwork that you guys are seeing, I know, sorry, podcast listeners, but it's all going to a gallery in South by Southwest, and then some of this is going to go on tour with the band.
Oh, sweet.
Very cool.
Sweet. Yeah. Do you have like any hard copies of that or anything so I could put those pictures on the article or no?
I do, yeah. Dennis Illick, I'll turn the video.
There you go.
But Dennis Illick, who did all the set photography for Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter and Battlestar Galactica, He came down and shot pictures of all this artwork today, so I will kick all those images over to you guys.
Awesome.
Oh, fantastic.
That's awesome, man. All right. Adam, I did want to kind of touch on how you got to this point. I mean, you're going to have a hell of a year this year.
I know.
I mean, you know, I wanted to get you on because, you know, when I met you, we spoke about Synapse for a bit. And, of course, we got Man Down, which I really want to talk to you about. But there's one thing I did want to kind of touch on, and I've read interviews with you where you kind of don't like talking about it, but I did want to kind of mention it because there's
parts about you are a good interviewer. You just go right for it.
Yeah, right for it, man. I go right for it right off the bat.
Is this about being naked in Cancun or is this
no. That's later in the interview. I like to build up to that, all right?
All right. We'll build up
to that. you were actually homeless for a little bit, is that true?
Yes.
It's always fun.
Yeah. How did you get to – you wrote Man Down while you were homeless as well, right? What was that experience like? What happened?
I did, and you know, you guys caught me at a good time too because I can actually talk about some of this stuff now since the movie's in post-production and it's wrapped and, you know, all that stuff's happened. So in a previous life, I was pursuing acting and screenwriting while I was working as a close protection specialist. So I was working as a bodyguard for celebrities and stuff like that. Made a really good living, had an amazing house, 3-car garage, was married at the time, had a cool little life. And then everything went downhill. I lost the business, went through a divorce. Me and my ex-wife still have a great relationship, and my kids are awesome and wonderful, and she's great. She's a wonderful mom. But went through a divorce and lost everything, went through bankruptcy, and hit fucking rock bottom, man. It was brutal. And I – you know, you reach a point in your life where you have to either keep going down this path of clocking in, clocking out, and trying to provide, or you got to really try to do what you love and love what you do. And so I just said, okay, this is it. Like, I'm doing this. I'm writing full time. I'm acting full time, and I'm going to pay the bills by doing that. So I was studying at a studio at the time, and I'd studied Strasbourg at a bunch of different studios and acting methods, but I landed at this place for a period of time called the Joanne Baron D.W. Brown Studio in Santa Monica.
Okay.
And I said in the interview that they took me in like the League of Shadows took in Bane. you know, they took me in, and we I studied there, and they allowed me to clean the place and clean the place and put together furniture and do stuff like that in exchange for going through their classes and taking their training. So I slept in an old beat up Cadillac in the parking garage behind the studio. That was my place of residence. And then I actually had to sell that to pay for some medical expenses and for child support and alimony. I've never missed a payment.
Nice.
And it was a really rough time, and I learned very quickly that you could sneak into 24-hour fitness. Sorry, 24-hour fitness. But you could sneak in during the busy times and get a shower, and you could go to this is another trick for all you struggling people out there. You could go to different hotels and show up in the morning and pretend like you stayed there the night before and get a good continental breakfast.
Wow.
And then stock up on oranges and bananas and apples before you left. And then some of the people at the studio were kind enough to offer, you know, their couches to me. So I couch surfed for a time, and then lived in a 650 square foot flat with 6 other actors and my 2 kids.
Wow.
So, yeah. To have that white picket fence and nice house, to go from that to having nothing to now having Man Down in post-production and Synapse, it's just a roller coaster of fucking awesomeness.
What a success, man. What a success story. You know, I mean, right now we're in the middle of Oscar season, right? And it's all about the glamorous life of being an actor and a director. But the majority, yeah. I mean, this is the majority of what people have to go through in order to accomplish their dreams, you know?
They do. And I'm, you know, like, I'm out of left field, man. Like, I had an interviewer call me up last week, and he's like, I'm just trying to figure out who the fuck you are. He's like, you're not a trust fund kid. You're not related to anybody in Hollywood. You don't, you know, you're not banging some producer or whatever. You know, you're not on a casting couch somewhere. Like, you know, like, you just kind of came out of left field. I feel really good about it because, you know, as an actor, it was very difficult. I was going into auditions and people were, you know, telling me lose weight, gain weight, shave your hair, change your look, dude, you know, and that's kind of the thing you go through as an actor. And I'm like, geez, man, like I'm in my 30s. Like I'm running out of time. I know a lot of talented people. I'm just going to write my own shit, you know, for me as an actor. And then I'm really just going to knock on every freaking door in this town with the scripts that I've got and finally found a home with Empower Pictures and Ditto Montiel.
Wow. Wow. There we go, Jason. That's what we have to look forward to, man.
Yeah.
I think I can deal with the struggle.
And Shia LaBeouf, man, like we were walking and talking on set. I'm also careful about, you know, what I say about that, you know, the conversations that we had. But I told him, I said, thank you. You know, thank you from the bottom of my heart for coming on this project. And he said, man, thank you. Like, you gave me the opportunity. And I said, yeah, but let's put this into perspective, man. Because he told me, he's like, do you think you could play the role that I'm playing? I said, yeah, I do. And he's like, that's a ballsy things to, you know, to say, because I originally was just gonna shoot Man Down for a bag of nickels with a bunch of film students and friends of mine, and I was gonna play Shia's character, and he said, well, that's a ballsy statement. I said, well, I have an approach, like, I know my craft, I know what I'm doing, but he said, I said, but seriously, taking it in for a moment, like, thank you. I said, you coming on board with this project made it so, you know, I could buy my kids, you know, beds and dressers and put them in separate rooms, and, you know, because they were sharing a room. Like, you literally put food on the table, you know, for my children. So I can't, you know, thank you enough. Like, he's just – so I know a lot of people like to come down on the guy and talk shit. But, I you know, he personally affected my ability to live and my children's ability to live. So if anybody's got something to say about Shia, I'll punch him in the fucking face.
There you go. You know, I was going to bring him up later, actually. No, it's fine. Because you have a bunch of cast members that I'm really anxious to talk to you about in that movie. I mean, we were talking right before you got on, Adam. Like, I mean, what a cast you got assembled for this. It's called Man Down. How did that come about? And, you know, you said you're going to star in it. How did it get to the point where you have Shia LaBeouf and, oh, by the way, a guy by the name of Gary Oldman and site favorite Clifton Collins III? You know, Clifton Collins Jr. I mean, how do you get all these people to be on it?
Gosh, man, let me tell you, like, Clifton Collins is a fucking beast.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
When you guys see, you know, I mean, the performances in this movie are incredible. Like, they're really incredible. And I, you know, the military aspect, I'm not military, but the military aspect came into the story because the story is my life. Like the marriage going to shit, the separation from the kids. I won't give away any spoilers, but the military aspect of the film I brought into it because of all the vets I was coming into contact with when I was homeless, and it just astounded me. Like, it just blew my mind. And the performances that you see in this, Shia, freaking Clifton Collins Jr., Jai Courtney, you know, Kate Mara, Gary Oldman.
Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's amazing. These guys' performances are just fucking amazing. I can't wait for everybody to see it.
When can we see it? When is it coming out, do you know?
So right now they have it September, October.
Okay.
And so you'll start to see some promotional things fairly soon in over the summertime. But how this progressed was there was a producer that I went to, who we had a mutual friend, and I went to this producer, Dawn Krantz. She made the introduction to Empower. Empower Steve McAvity. I mean, he did, you know, We Were Soldiers and Braveheart and Passion of the Christ, and then John Shepherd, who did Crimson Tide, and those that body of producers. But all the producers kind of came together, jumped on board with the project, and it really started to pick up steam after Empower got involved. Patrick Hiebler is just like a kick-ass dude, and he's like, I'm going to fight for this thing. And then Ditto came on board, and I shot Ditto a message and was just like, man, I'm so excited. Like, when your name came up, I'm just, you know, ecstatic and really excited. And he called me, and we talked. We talked for a couple hours. We talked about life and you know, his upbringing and you know, his vision for what he wanted to do. And at that point, Shia was already attached. I had no idea what, you know, because Shia and Ditto have a previous relationship because they did A Guide to Recognizing Your Saints together.
Okay.
And I had no idea about Gary Oldman or Kate or any of that stuff was happening until I got sent an audio file. And now, mind you, I was still couch surfing.
Yeah.
When it was going into pre-production, I was still like bouncing from couch to couch, and had all my stuff in storage. And I was at this dingy little like hostel that I was staying in, and I was touring around doing Comic Cons with Rob and doing all that stuff, and you know, making ends meet that way as well. And I was sitting in this dingy little freaking hotel, and I get this audio file, and I have no idea what it is. And I open it up, and it's Shia, and I promptly, you know, like deleted it. But it was Shia and Kate and Gary like reading the script.
Wow.
And I lost my freaking mind, dude. I did that Dane Cook, like, I hugged onto the couch going, my sixth grade teacher, my sixth grade math teacher, fuck you. I've made it. I can be someone, you know, like that kind of a thing. It was a beautiful thing, man.
I mean, you know, me and Jason get excited when we see, when we have friggin' Eric Roberts read ours.
Oh, man.
You know, I could just imagine like Gary Oldman reading the words I write. I mean, that's fucking amazing.
Yeah, it's out of control.
So
man.
Your producer actually put that together, huh? He actually, you know, without you knowing, he just kind of got them all together. You had no idea any of these people were going to be in it?
I think it was, yeah, I really had no idea. I mean, you know, and you hear so many different things, you know, as a writer, you're kind of out of the loop on that kind of stuff. I mean, I handed the script off to Ditto, and then Ditto was like, hey, we're moving forward, and I'll let you know. And then, you know, Ditto and I had a really good, we hit it off really well. I mean, we kind of have similar backgrounds, and he's just a hell of a guy and just a brilliant guy. Now I want to say something, man, like, not going off on a tangent, but I met Joe Carnahan, a couple weeks back.
Okay. The, guy who did, The Gray and
A-Team. Aces, A-Team. If you guys have not seen Stretch.
Oh, it's fucking great.
Oh yeah. Who's that talking?
Oh yeah.
That's Jason.
Jason. Fucking love Stretch.
Fucking love Stretch?
I did, yeah. That was a great movie.
I fucking love that movie.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it,
Garrett, it's great.
I haven't seen it yet. No, I do love Joe Carnahan, though.
Oh,
I
yeah,
do love
absolutely.
The most stuff he does.
I love him, man.
Where, is it in theaters right now, or?
They did, like, a VOD day and date kind of thing.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's on Netflix right now.
An interesting thing, man. Like, I don't know what happened with that. That movie should have hit theaters.
Oh,
like,
it should have
fucking hit theaters. Yeah. And there's a restaurant in there that's just down here on Van Nuys Boulevard, I think, and it's called Corky's. And so me and Ken, because we're such cinephiles, we went down and ate there because that's where Stretch was filmed.
Christ.
And, yeah. And so I put on my Instagram, I'm like, man, if you guys haven't seen this film, check it out. And we're both holding up menus at the place. It's called Corky's. And the next thing I know, fucking Joe Carnahan comments on my fucking Instagram, on my Instagram.
Oh, that's cool.
Hey, man. I was like, yeah, this is freaking awesome. But he did a movie. So Joe did Stretch. There's another movie, and it just went straight to Netflix, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's another movie called Boulevard that Diddle Montiel directed, and it's Robin Williams' last film, and it's a brilliant, brilliant freaking film. It's written by this guy, Douglas Sosby, and it's just an amazing film, and it's going right to stars. Nobody will see it, and it's one of those like Robin Williams' last great dramatic work, you know.
Oh, wow,
there's a lot of people in that movie too, isn't there?
Yeah, we've reached, and I'm coming at the game with the unique experience of having the studio film and also having an independent film, and the difference, and I'm really excited about both, and they both have their pros and cons, but I'll tell you what, man, like. This whole like commercialization and basing, you know, like your film's success off of foreign sales projections, like this fucking model is ruining the art form. Like it's fucking ruining. It's taking brilliant films like Stretch and making it go right to VOD. It's making brilliant movies like Boulevard not being able to be seen in theaters and it goes right to stars. And it makes me like concerned for the fucking future. So, but it's you know, producers get involved. Certain producers can get involved and really fuck up your operation. That's why I'm really glad the people at Empower and the producers that we're working with on Man Down. So hopefully it gets the screening and the justice it deserves.
Yeah, positively, positively. You also have another one coming out called Synapse. Now,
oh baby.
Okay. At WonderCon, Adam, you explained the plot to that movie, and for the life of me, I still don't know what the hell it's about. explain exactly what it is, because it's kind of like science fiction, right? It's a science fiction story, right?
Oh, totally. It's total sci-fi. In fact, the movie is an homage to all the great sci-fi that we love, and one of the biggest inspirations for the film was Joe Carnahan's movie, Narc.
Oh,
That's a good movie.
Phenomenal movie.
So, I think at the WonderCon I said this, and you laughed your ass off. I said, if Narc and Total Recall had a baby that was raised by X-Men First Class, Synapse.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious. Yeah. Well. I watched the trailer, just to kind of interrupt you just a bit. I watched the trailer and I really got a, you know, this is probably because on my flight to Hawaii this last week, all I did was I was nose deep in his work. But it reminded me a lot of the work of Philip K. Dick.
Oh, Philip Dick!
Yeah, positively.
Yeah. I worship at the altar of Philip Dick.
Yeah, that's what it kind of reminded me of a little bit. Yeah. But go on exactly what were you saying about what it's about and everything?
So it takes place shortly in the future, not in a future that is very different from our own. There's no like flying cars and hover skateboards and you know, like shit like that. So the world looks very, and you could tell that from the new trailer, the world looks very similar to our own, only the advances of technology have really accelerated. And so there's a new drug out there on the streets called MEMS. And what it is you get these little chips called MEM chips, and you're able to place these things via a device that looks very similar to, like, you know, an iPhone. You're able to put this up to your head, and you're able to download memories of other people. Very similar to, like, Strange Days or Total Recall.
Gotcha.
But you're able to download memories into your head and get high off of them. And at first, it seemed like an amazing idea because, well, there's no side effects, and you know, it was really great, and it was based off of a technology that would help soldiers rehabilitate who had suffered brain trauma. Crazy fucking thing, man. This is actually in development. This technology is actually out there.
No shit.
Yeah, I talked to this guy. He worked in neuroscience for UCLA, and he was talking about how they're actually working on that. Billions of dollars have been funded into this project. I think you guys have probably seen this. It's floated out on the internet. If not, check it out. But they were actually able to pull video images from this dude's head while he was I think he was in REM sleep or something like that. I could have that technicality.
I saw something wrong about that. I think you're right. I think it was REM sleep.
Oh my God.
So they were able to actually pull. So then I'm talking to this guy and I said, well, in theory, if you can pull images from somebody's head, can't you place, you know, reverse engineering, can't you put images in somebody's head? And he goes, yeah, but why would anybody want to do that? I'm like, oh God.
Nobody's seen Total Recall.
Parker, radioactive spider situation. This. So what happens is people can download these things. So the side effect ends up being once the memory's in your head, it's in your head. You can't get rid of it. And so prolonged use of the drug, you can't differentiate what's your memories and what's been downloaded.
Oh, okay.
Kind of like Johnny Mnemonic, if you remember that.
Yeah,
Minus the dolphin that can, you know, that is guided by iced tea in the
Brilliant comparison.
I think I'm one of the few people on the planet that like Johnny Mnemonic.
I remember that iced tea just going, what did he say? What was the line? He says, yo, this dolphin can do waves straight through the dome. You know, is Ice-T really telling me that a dolphin is in my head? This is too much. So these guys get high off these mem chips. So what happens is this guy, kind of like the guy on the run, kind of a thing, this addict, wakes up. His mind is completely garbled and full of, you know, other people's memories, which is what happens when you take a big hit. If you're doing multiple memories and experiencing, you know, all these different things, the side effect is you wake up and with amnesia and you don't really know where you are. This is for the deep addicts, like the real messed up guys. So he wakes up. He doesn't know who he is. All of a sudden, these guys kick down his door. They want to take him in. They want to arrest him, but he doesn't know who they are or what they want him for. So it's the guy on the run, kind of like Memento. And then some people rescue him, and you start to go on this journey of who is this guy? Why is the law chasing him? What does he know? What is the secret that he has in his head? Meanwhile, there's another storyline going on where the character played by Joshua Alba, who you'll – Jessica Alba's brother, who's in House Dog and Dark Angel. He's the guy, he plays the drug informant. And so what happens is this guy gets arrested, and at the police station, they can sort out your memories to figure out who you are, because this guy's burned his, you know, fingerprints off, removed his own, his biological dental work, so they can't figure out who he is. So the way they sort you out in the police station is they scan your memories. And they can sort out what you've downloaded from what is you. And in the scanning, they find out that there's a memory inside this guy's head that pertains to the arresting officer's murder of his wife and child.
Holy shit.
So those two storylines go side by side along with each other and actually collide in the second act and then send everything spinning out of control.
Wow, that sounds amazing, actually.
Yeah, I was just like, wow, this doesn't sound like an indie movie at all.
Yeah. No,
and the body count in this motherfucker, man, it rivals John Wick. Like, we went we went for it. There's people dying right and left, especially in the third act. Like, the third act is just a galloping insanity of people getting blown away. It's freaking awesome.
Wow. You know, that means Ammon will love it then.
Yeah, I think so too.
So I'm looking at the IMDb page for this, and like, you had a very small crew, it looks like. How did you pull this movie off? What kind of a budget were you guys working with? Because it sounds like a really interesting film to pull off as an indie, especially with a small-ass crew like that.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, there's two people, Kenlyn Clark and Rusty Rayburn. They are, and I don't know why they're, you know, they're sticking with that. I don't know what you call it when the first and last name sounds begins with the same consonant. Yeah, but Kenlyn Clark, Rusty Rayburn. It sounds like I'm making that shit up. these guys, man, they are fucking brilliant. Kenlyn Clark worked as a editor for Los Angeles Center Studios for 12 years. And that's where they film Mad Men, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
He was with you at WonderCon, right? That was who?
He was.
Yeah, that's right.
He's with me there, and he got his – on top of all that of working as an editor, while he was working as an editor for 12 years, he was directing hip-hop videos for like – hip-hop music videos for like G-Unit artists and a bunch of other people. He but before all of that, dude got his start as a comic book artist and is such a comic book nut. You go into his bathroom – and the walls of his bathroom are lined with comic book racks.
Oh, jeez.
He's got the reading material going on.
Yeah. So this guy, he shot and edited the film and put together a crew. There's a couple people who are still trying to get their profiles put together, but he had a crew of about five. We shot the whole film that way. But you know, our budget was nothing, man. It was like a bag of nickels. In fact, I can't say what it was, but we will as soon as the film's released, and people are just going to go bullshit. But let me just tell you, it literally was a Roberto Rodriguez El Mariachi situation. Like there was like no fucking money going into this. But what we did have was we started shooting it. We were running from the cops. On the streets of LA because we had no permits, we had nothing. It was awesome. It was literally, it was like Ken was just like, cut, run! It was just crazy. But what happened was Ken went in and was uploading the footage one day and talking to the guys at LA Center Studios about what he was doing. And they said, Brian and Pete Brosnan, the owners of the studios, like this studio. They've got four 18,000 square foot lots. All the properties in downtown LA come through these guys in Hollywood locations. So if you want to shoot in the high rises downtown at Union Station, stuff like that. So they came in. We pitched the idea. We gave them the script. Ken had storyboarded the entire film. Wow, he had done a animation of the storyboards even. And you know, we pitched it to them. And they said, okay, here's what we can do. We're not going to put in money because we're not in the business of funding people's, you know, projects. Yeah, otherwise, we get hit up by all of our thousands of employees.
Yeah.
So we don't do that. But we believe in your project. We've worked with Ken for 12 years. So how about this? You guys can use our sets. You can use our sound stages. You can use our locations. We'll take care of the permits, like all that stuff. And they jumped on board. And so the production value of it shot through the roof. So we were able to do, you know, these chase scenes. We were able to, you know, use these amazing sets and sound stages and back lots and streets and everything. And then we worked with a prop, their prop people, Target Props in Van Nuys. And so we were able to get the guns and all the props. It was just like a candy store, man. Like we just really hit the fucking lottery, and these guys believed in us. And what's amazing is they came down to set. To look at it, and they were blown away because everybody was swinging for the fences. I mean, Henry Simmons, who's on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., mm-hmm. Sophina Brown, who's on NCIS and CSI, and she was on Shark with James Woods, Josh Alba, you know, all these great actors. They just came in swinging for the fences, man. And so they saw what was going on and got really excited about it. So they jumped on board as executive producers. And then when they saw the rough cut of the film, they really got excited. And so this whole month, the month of March, March 1st through the 20th, we're just going to be screening it for distributors. We already have distributors lined up wanting to distribute the film.
Sweet. That's awesome. That's awesome. And so you're going to be screening it. You don't have a distribution deal or anything yet?
We don't, but there's offers on the table. Like by the end of March, we will have distribution.
Yeah, this thing doesn't deserve to just hit Netflix, people.
Yeah, I mean, right now it's not a matter of like, will they have distribution? It's who are they going to choose?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Watching the trailer, because I watched it, you know, right before I called you, because I do my research right before Adam.
Good job.
The trailer actually, it's funny because I literally got like a, like they had, you had that Hans Zimmer horns going on and shit going on in the trailer.
Yeah, that's also the work of Kenlyn Clark. Like Ken is, awesome. It's just like you gotta have the, burr, burr, you know, like
that's awesome. That's awesome. What do you like better? You like writing or you like acting more?
Acting.
You more of an actor guy?
Yeah, man. Like and that's why I'm that's why I'm excited about Synapse and why I want people to check it out, because you know. Up until now, it's been docudramas, remakes, you know, low-budget independents that all give me, you know, experience. But Synapse kind of encapsulates right now, currently, what I can do as an actor. And writing, man, like, thing about writing, I've got some exciting projects. I've got some two films that I'm working on with Rob Pryor. I got another film I'm working on with Ken. There's the possibility of a sequel to Synapse, a television series that I'm pitching. So there's some really exciting stuff. And when Man Down comes out, obviously people are going to be like, oh, let's get that guy. He was a writer. The problem with writing, though, man, is, gosh, if you – you just got to find the right team. I mean, Synapse worked out so well for us, and they gave us the freedom. LA Center Studios did, and they really believed in us, and they trusted us. Whereas, I think I told you this at WonderCon, I wrote this script. I won't tell you what it's called, because I'm still trying to get my name off it. But I had this producer call me up. I was hurting for money. He called me up and he's like, you know, I need a script. And I'm like, great, you know, let's talk. So they offered me the cash. I said, all right, I'll take it. And, you know, I'm all about relationships and character and story. And I've got to, if it doesn't move me emotionally, then I don't give a shit about what I'm writing. So this guy calls me up. I'm not joking, man. This is a conversation. He goes, okay, here's what we need. We need a story. Place in the Middle East, because that's where the money's coming from. We got some financing coming from the United Arab Emirates and Turkey. Got to take place in Turkey. It's got to take place, I don't know, fucking Saudi Arabia or Jordan. So it's got to have boobs. I don't want a broad being the main character, but to make the main character a guy like, you know, like fucking Channing Tatum. Hot chick, you know, something like that. Lots of explosions, lots of action. Throw in some like Indiana Jones shit, like that. But something having to do, you know, with the Middle East crisis. I don't know, but there it is. It's not rocket science. Just, you know, get back to me in a month. And I'm like, Jesus, holy shit!
Was this producer? Did this producer's name rhyme with Mason Chorus?
That is awesome.
Thanks, I'll be here all night. Wow, he actually had that discussion. Well, what'd you say?
I said, well, you know, let's pull up a contract. Let's, you know, let's see. I mean, my kids got to eat. So, you know, I said to somebody the other day, you really, like, in writing, you just have to – there's stories that are out of your control. There's a group of producers that are going to sit there and say, I don't like this. I like that. We're reaching out to this actor or that actor. You know, we change this, change that. And you got to be flexible and you got to just kind of roll with the punches and write and not be so precious and attached to the thing that you're writing. But then
why can't I find writers like that?
No, yeah. I mean, you got to – I mean, you got to, you know, and it is a collaboration in that sense. And so you got to be kind of flexible and do it. And then there's the other group of scripts that you really care about. And those are your babies, and you want to be precious about those things and try to fight for them and get them out there. And but, you know, you just have to learn to divvy up and just say, okay, you know, I'm giving birth to this child, and it's going right to the adoption agency, and that's it. Like that, I will never see this fucking kid again. or you got to say, I'm raising this baby. This baby's my own. I care about this child, and this child is mine. Or I guess in Hollywood, it better be instead of the adoption agency, this child is going to be sold on the black market. So, what you gotta do.
Wow. Aren't you guys kind of curious to play King of Hollywood with him?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, Adam, I usually send an email that encapsulates this this scenario, but I completely forgot to send it this week. Moreno, do you have enough in you to actually explain to him what King of Hollywood consists of?
Oh, God. I think the bourbon and the NyQuil are doing its trick for me right now. throw my head for a loop. Go ahead.
Really drinking right now? What are you drinking?
A little. I'm working off a sinus infection, and I'm remedying that with NyQuil and bourbon. I mean, the doctor prescribed it, so I have to do it. I have to. I have to listen to the doctor.
This is another 24-hour fitness trick that I learned.
Oh, nice.
Just get loaded up on, yeah, do the bourbon thing, do the NyQuil thing, get a big tub of water, and just go down to the sauna, the steam room at 24 Hour Fitness, and just sit in there and just keep drinking water, and it'll help you.
That's actually my plan for tomorrow morning.
There you go.
Doing that tomorrow morning.
24 Hour Fitness, now it's just going to be the cesspool of just some super germ is going to come out of there.
I'm actually going to send this to 24 Hour Fitness so we get some kind of sponsorship deal on the podcast.
That's awesome. Yeah, we'll go right next to the video with Shinedown that Adam's working on right now.
Absolutely. Yeah, there you go.
All right, so what King of Hollywood pretty much consists of, Adam, is source at your disposal to make any film you want with any actor you want. You have money is not an option. You can pretty much make any movie you want with anybody you want. What would this project be?
Oh man. I actually have the project. I know what it would be. And you're gonna be like, what? But I'm all about working with people that I love, you know, people that I love and will have a good time with and really respect. It's my fucking mission in life to do a movie with Joe Carnahan.
Yes.
Like that shit's going to happen. And you know, I'm currently stalking his ass. You know, I just love Joe because he speaks his mind. He says what he says.
Absolutely.
Yep.
You know. And he does not give a shit. And those are the kinds of people that I want to be around. So I would say, I would want, buddy, I'm going to tell you right fucking now. You ready? I'm going to blow your goddamn mind.
Let's do it.
All right. I want The Punisher. I want The Punisher series. Not the series, but I want The Punisher film. I've actually written a treatment for The Punisher. I've got it. My personal opinion is it's never been done right. Thomas Jane was the embodiment of Frank Castle. He looked great. He sounded great. He was fucking amazing. But that movie should have been called The Punished because he sat around waiting to get his ass kicked. You know, people. He's having Thanksgiving dinner with Ben Foster. And it's like, what in the fuck, Frank? Like, they got to come to you for help. And then, you know, the new one, Warzone, stylistically was really fucking cool, but they just got lost in it.
Yeah.
So The Punisher's never been given due justice. And so I want that franchise. So check it out. I write it. I'm totally being a narcissist. Right now.
Starring it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the segment is called King of Hollywood. So
that's true. That's true.
It's right there.
So if I don't get to play Frank Castle, then I want my buddy Noah Dambi.
Okay.
playing Frank, and you'll remember Noah Dambe from Painkiller Jane. He was on that show on the Sci-Fi Channel for a while. He played a character called Connor. Now he's on the show Defiance. He plays the alien Sukar.
Oh, yeah. No, he's good. Yeah.
Noah's jacked, buddy. Like, he is fucking – if I don't get Frank, then I will fight Noah in a cage, and then he – and then I'd have Joe Carnahan direct.
Wow.
I would have this is going to sound totally fucking crazy. Like, but I'd mix it up, and you'd be like, oh, that's sacrilegious. I'd either do one of two things. I'd have Russell Crowe play Micro, or I'd have Denzel Washington play Micro.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And do it like, you know, that Micro isn't some, like, side, you know, little character. Like, I'd take Rick Remender Punisher series and do it in kind of that style and have Micro be kind of like this badass. Like, Micro is he can fucking go to town. And he's like old, like retired military intelligence kind of a dude, and really kind of gritty. And the Punisher, you know, start him off in Afghanistan and doing that. And then we'd go Bullseye, and I'd take a guy like Tom Hardy. I know he's done Bane, but I'd like to get somebody either like Tom Hardy or Joel Egerton or to play Bullseye.
Okay.
Or I'd do – Joel Egerton's just fucking great, man.
Yeah, yeah. He's a good actor.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I know people came down on Gods and Kings, and I understand why, and I understand that, but, like, he was great in that.
He was.
And I kept watching his physicality, and I was like, my God, he would be a good Bullseye. Like, he'd be so fucking good. And I think, yeah, man, that's what I would do. And I'd start Frank out doing ops for the government in Afghanistan, and that's where he comes up with the – you know, not comes up, but it's in the psyche. Like, I was watching American Sniper the other day, and I was like, my God, the Punisher's all over this thing.
Yeah.
and so, you know, and follow that storyline. And then I would love, damn it, to pair up with the Russos and have them do a Punisher film where the Avengers try to bring Frank Castle in the Civil War series.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Like, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, you remember the comic where it's escaping me right now, but where the Avengers tried to bring Frank in, and he's just fucking them up, man. Like, he has a whole, like, Cuban army take on Thor, and then Iron Man flies into this house to try to take him, and it's lined with explosives, and he fucks him up. And, like, so it's, you know, I love the Punisher because he's just a man. You know, and it just takes everything the Avengers got to bring Frank in, and it ends up being Cap because he's a soldier. He relates to Frank, and Frank ends up being like, "Okay, you know, I'll come in, I'll listen to you."
Jason, you taking notes?
You know what? I don't want to take notes because I seriously have a feeling that this guy is going to make this one day.
Yeah, I know.
And I don't want to fucking get sued. just the way this guy talks, I totally believe that he's going to fucking do this. And I think this is going to happen.
Absolutely.
If you watch Man Down, like, you can get a sense.
Oh, I'm going to watch it, and I'm hoping at some point I get to come down and, like, work for you or some shit.
Yeah. You know what's funny about that, Adam? When I met you at WonderCon, I spoke to you about Jason, and I spoke to you about the werewolf project we're doing with Lance Henriksen, Through the Night.
Yeah.
I told you. I said, you know what, man? You would really get along with my producing partner here, Jason Morris. And Moreno, I think we found a love connection.
I think we did, too.
All it took was King Hollywood.
If you want to see how small this world is, Noah, the guy that I was talking about, he's actually done some coaching and some acting work with Lance.
Yeah,
listen to that. That's pretty crazy.
That's awesome.
But he's I love I fucking loved The Punisher, and I was sitting there when they made the announcement, the unveiling of all the Marvel films. I was like, please God, no.
I know, right?
You know, they were saying, you know, like, oh, Civil Wars, and I'm like, fuck, Punisher's gonna be up there, fuck. They're gonna PG-13, and there's the other thing. Punisher needs to be fucking R.
Absolutely.
It needs to be R-rated.
Hard R.
And it's just gotta, like, God, man. And so right now, I'm training. Me and Ken are going to shoot this movie about this Russian hitman. I'm playing this hitman. And so I'm bulking up and turning into this monster to play him. And so I'm hoping I can get some images out there and people go, you know what? Maybe this guy can fucking pull off Frank. I'm a huge fan of the Punisher comic books. I've read them since I was a kid. And I would just fucking die to do that movie. And Joe is the guy.
Yeah.
If you watch fucking Smokin' Aces and Narc, if those two films had a baby, it would be the fucking Punisher, man. Like,
I'm loving this baby scenario.
that's how I operate, man.
Oh man, at WonderCon he had about six in the span of an hour on the panel. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
Wow. I want to just real quick go back to Man Down. Have you actually gotten to spend time on that set, or did you just write it and just kind of send it off and trust your director to do it?
I'm all about getting out of the way, and I know that the actor in me as well. Like I just you know, Ditto and I talked at length. We talked about the story, like where it came from, where I was when I wrote it. You know, all that stuff. And then he worked with the actors on any, you know, changes that they felt were necessary on dialogue and stuff like that. And I just felt like this is going to seem really weird. Like it moved into production, and and it's not that anybody made me feel that way. Maybe it was my own insecurities. I just felt like the unpopular kid at school, you know, like this thing was going on, and I'm just, you know, I'm there. And so I went out to set in New Orleans where they shot everything, and went out there, and I showed up to set, and Patrick and Steve McAveedy were just awesome and really cool. And so I showed up there, and we get out there, and all the other producers are really cool. So get out there, walk onto this set, and there's like, you know, 30, 40 Marines, and they're all running up on this beach, and it was just surreal. It was the weirdest, wildest experience to see this thing that I had written was now happening.
Yeah.
So Shia and I, like, we talked, we had some great conversations that are really special and personal to me. Jai Courtney's an interesting cat, man. Like I walked up to him, and he was at Craft Services, and I said, hey man, how's it going? I said, are you looking for something to eat? He's like, yeah. I said, well, you know, there's like sandwiches, you know, and stuff like that. And, you know, can I get you anything? And he goes, none of this, mate. My body's a temple. What? Body's the temple. Okay, that sounds like the title of John Mayer's next song. So he's over, like, and he goes over and he's like doing a smoking break. So I walk past him and I go, oh, apparently that temple has a chimney on it. He just kind of laughed.
You fucking busted his ass.
That's great, man. What a story.
Yeah, but we, you know, I got to meet him and talk to him. He's a really lovely, individual. And I didn't get to meet Gary. Gary flew in, shot his stuff in a really quick amount of time. He was in and out. And you know, I just freaking honored, man. And gosh, man, Shia he's just an incredible human being.
I keep fucking telling people this, man. People give a lot of shit for all the stuff he's been doing. And I've I think me and Garrett have actually argued about this.
No, no, I'm on your side.
Somebody I've been fucking arguing.
No, we argued with it on a conference call with somebody.
That's bourbon and NyQuil's now.
No, we argued about it because I know I've met his manager because I saw a Nymphomaniac at a festival with Under the Skin. And I met his manager, and I told you, I said, you know what? The only reason me and you argue was because I waited till like the very end of a casting conference call to mention to you, oh, by the way, I do know Shia LaBeouf's manager.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You know what? I've said the same thing. I think people hate him just because he got a lot of breaks, and he just didn't really take advantage of it like a lot of people would. I can understand that to a point, but I agree with you, Adam, man. I agree with you. You know, I think the kid's got a lot of talent. I think his best work is still to come. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just people just kind of just cut the kid a break, you know?
Yeah, I think, we live in this crazy – in Synapse, you know, we actually get into this. Like, we talk about the whole Facebook, social media, like the craziness in this world. Like, we live in a world – now I'm going to say some shit that'll get me in trouble. We live in a world where everybody's got a megaphone. Like everybody's got a megaphone. Anybody and everybody can speak, and I think that's a beautiful thing. I think that's a wonderful thing, and it's led to some amazing things. But here's the other thing. Just because you got an opinion about something doesn't mean you should open your fucking mouth.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And you know, like there's people who feel very strongly about stuff, but they don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
Yeah.
And I said this to somebody one time, and he's like, I said, you know, we live in a time that it's the equivalent of a bunch of people are doing brain surgery. And all of a sudden, a plumber runs in. He goes, hey, I got an opinion about all
this. That's brilliant.
You know, let me lend my opinion. And it's like, hey. You know, if I got a leaky pipe or if some shit breaks, you know, with my toilet or my shower or whatever, I'm going to call you because you're the guy to call. But this is fucking brain surgery, so shut the fuck up. You know, and like that really is the thing. Like, you know, and acting and all these things, like if people see one image or one thing or somebody does something and they're so quick to just judge and like, throw somebody under the bus, and it's just mean-spirited and fucking just despicable. Like it drives me crazy. And you know, people can see a movie or they see Shia do something like his I Am Sorry project, which I actually went to,
right?
And they can see somebody do something and they go, oh well, that guy's a fucking idiot. Like he, oh God, fuck that guy. It's kind of like the mean tweets thing, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like, Jesus, like we've developed into this kind of internet society that lacks compassion, that lacks like, geez.
Well, it's even worse for celebrities like that because there's even less of a compassion level for people like that are, you know, held to a different kind of esteem. And then when they fuck up or do something, it's like the fucking world falls apart around them.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's really, man, gosh, it's so difficult. And people, you know, will take the approach, well, if you don't like it, just tune it out. But we live in a world now where it's damn near impossible to tune that out. And I've, you know, Shia's really brilliant. I admire him a lot for how he's able to use a kind of social media and the media in general to his advantage as an artist. And I've taken kind of a different approach. Like I talked to you guys, for example. Like I was at this press conference not too long ago. It was up at Sundance, and they had all these, you know, like regular press people, like major media outlets and stuff like that. And then they had these bloggers, these independent guys, like in the back. And kind of the rule of the house was the media's at this table. The celebrities from Sundance and Comic-Con and stuff like that will go to this table, do the regular interviews, and then the bloggers get whatever's left. Like whoever wants to stick around afterwards, they can shove a digital recorder in their face and maybe get a soundbite. Mm-hmm. So I introduced myself. I was like, I'm Adam Simon. I wrote this film, Man Down. I got this other film, Synapse, and blah, blah, blah. And they're like, okay, now if you'll sit down at the table and do the interview. And I'm like, yeah, I'll do that after I talk to those guys. And I walked into the back and talked to all the bloggers first.
Awesome.
That's fantastic. Fucking cool.
That's awesome. Well, I found out about you, Adam, is that, you know, like, even at the panel, like, you guys, one of the first things you guys said was, you know, everybody at these panels says, don't record, and you were just like, fucking record whatever you want. Yeah. And then, like, you know, and I've been, you know, putting together a guest since I've come back from vacation, and I've gone through, you know, three or four people trying to get a hold of them, and, you know, these are people who, you know, I am very anxious to talk to, but... You know, I will send them a message on Facebook, or I'll email them, and then I'll get a message saying, "Oh, I'm their handler." You know, I'll get the message to them. I send you a message on Facebook like an hour later. You're like, "Let's do it."
Yeah.
You know, and that's a respect. That's a very, very respectable place that you have. Now, when Man Down comes out and it's like, you know, this big thing, and you're unreachable, I'll come after you. But like, so far, you've been, you know, you're a pretty cool dude to actually, you know, get to interact with.
No, man, fuck that. Like, here's like, as an actor, as a writer, like, this is how I always want to conduct myself. If I'm like, and I know, man, I know a lot of people. This is a touchy fucking subject. I know a lot of people are like, look, I didn't sign on to have my life scrutinized. I didn't sign on to like do this or do that. So I've just decided, man, like, I'm going to them. Like, you know, I'm just an open book. Like, what do you want to know about me?
Yeah.
Like, you know, and it's like everybody's looking to dig up, you know, it's like Eminem and 8 Mile. Like, he gets up on stage and he's like, what are you going to say? I'm white. I'm skinny. Mm-hmm. I'm poor. My dick's little. Like, what are you going to say about me? And it takes the steam out of anybody trying to do, you know, you harm, is to be open and to be accessible. Like, you know, there's one thing that I don't do. I have two beautiful, amazing, wonderful children who are the loves of my life, and I don't put them on social media. I did one thing with my son when he was in the hospital and he was sick and, you know, we needed help. And I'll give a shout out to a celebrity here in a second who bailed me out of that situation. But I feel like, you know, that part of my life's private. That part of my life is sacred, and I protect that because my kids need me to be a father and protect them. But other than that, like, all this shit, you know, I had, you know, people chirping in my ear, and they're like, don't talk about you being homeless. Don't talk about you being bankrupt. Don't talk about, like, any of those times in my life. And I feel like that's bullshit. Like, my life is an open book. I feel like that part, being very honest and being open with people, and then – you know, and then they say, well, you know, then people will watch you in a film and they won't be able to separate the two. Well, if they can't separate the two, then I haven't done my job as a fucking actor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's a complete opposite effect, I think it would have. I mean, it makes you more relatable to the common people.
Yeah. And I, you know, there's that great line, you know, in Gladiator where it's like, get the crowd on your side. Mm-hmm. And to be quite honest, like, I am like the crowd. Like, I am the audience. I love movies. I love comic books. Like, I love talking to people. I love meeting new people. It gives me stuff to draw on as an actor. And so, you know, when people are like, you know, no, you can't do that. I'm like, well, you know, James McAvoy even said it, and this is also dangerous ground, but James McAvoy said in an interview recently where he said, you know, it's not to knock it, but all these guys that are getting into the industry are coming from these posh, like, elite schools, and they're coming from, you know, a very higher upper class.
Yeah.
And not that there's anything wrong with that. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. That's totally fucking cool. But when those are the only people that are getting into the industry, those are the only artists who are channeling voices of these other characters. Ah, gosh, man, that starts to get into some, like, dicey fucking territory. So I, you know, I feel like I have a responsibility to represent the people that I love and where I come from. And, you know, that's the common man. My dad was fucking blue collar. Like, you know, that's the thing. So I would, the shout out to the celebrity, when my son was sick, he got appendicitis and he had a terrible allergic reaction to some antibiotics. In the hospital, things were fucking rough and really difficult. And Rampage, Quentin Rampage Jackson.
Yeah. Oh, no shit.
Yeah, he's you know, his manager and I are really, really good friends, and we kind of were talking, and so he brought me in. He wanted me to collaborate as a script writer on a thing that I'm developing with him, and so I came in, and he fucking bailed me out, man. Like, he really made a difference in me and my kids' lives. So, you know, there's another guy. You talk shit about Rampage, I'm going to punch you in the face.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. Man Down, we can expect, you said, with around September, October?
Yeah, September, October. You'll see promotional stuff this summer. Synapse, you know, we'll see what happens this month with distribution, but they're really looking to push it out end of summer or around the same time that Man Down will be up, and you can check it out, synapsethefilm.com. Go to YouTube, check out the trailer. Just type in Synapse official trailer or Synapse Adam Simon. You'll be able to watch. We even put up all the behind the scenes stuff already, awesome. So you can check that out as well.
I'll tell you, Adam, I wouldn't be terribly disappointed if us guys over here at Binge Media ended up receiving some sort of a link to Synapse.
That
wouldn't
be horrible.
Be disappointed at all.
That would not be a bad day if that happened.
Are you talking about like a screener or some shit?
Yeah.
How accessible are you, Adam? We're asking.
Listen, I'll tell you what. This is what we'll do. As soon as we get input from the distributors, as soon as we get input, I'll send you guys a link, and you guys can review the film. I'll send you a private link. We'll leave it up for a day. You guys can watch the film, and then we'll fucking take it down. Yeah, I'll screen That'd it for you guys great, for man. Sure.
Awesome.
Kick ass.
Awesome. You know,
have my fucking word.
Adam, after I met you, like literally maybe 2 weeks after I met you, a picture came up of Shia LaBeouf and Gary Oldman on the set of your movie. And, you know, man, that just sent chills, because just getting to meet you, getting to talk to you, man, I was really, you know, you're one of those people it's just hard not to root for. So it was awesome to see that. I got chills for you, man. This year is going to be phenomenal for you. I really look forward to more things from you. Guys, you guys have anything else?
Yeah, I think this is probably one of our best interviews so far.
I'd agree with that.
Oh, man. Oh, shit, man. Look at the love.
It's all about the love.
I'm glad the video isn't on. My pants are off. We got bourbon. We got NyQuil.
That's right.
Speaking of love, Adam, let's talk about your interactions with JoeBlow.com. Let's talk about that.
Oh, God.
Garrett, do we have an off-the-air story?
Seriously, man. Like, whose fucking dick do I have to suck to get out there? I mean, you watch the trailer to Synapse. It's fucking badass.
It's amazing.
Movie.
Yeah.
Ken did such a good job. Yeah. Like, all the editing, the VFX, like, everything that's going on in that thing, and especially since we made it for a fucking bag of nickels. And, like, you start sending it to these quote-unquote independent film sites and that are supposed to be independent, and you're just like, hey, support independent cinema. This is what we're doing. And they're like, give us the name of your distributor. Give us some contact for, you know, this person or that person. I'm like, are you really supporting independent cinema, or are you just sucking on the teat
of
fucking studios
right.
Yeah.
And doing what they're doing? And look, the studio system exists. I love it. If I get a fucking Marvel property, I will fucking do hand jobs as the day is long. I'm a fucking executive, like, whatever. But until that day, like, I understand the necessity of it. I understand it's there. But there are these beautiful, beautiful fucking movies that are being made in the independent realm. You know, they're being done,
yep.
But it just seems like unless you are the same thing is happening with the Sundance Film Festival. Sundance used to be the place where somebody could go in, and you do have rare exceptions like Beasts of the Southern Wild,
uh-huh.
You know, movies like that that will come in and monsters, you know, that will really like shock people and go, wow, this is a truly independent film that's very beautiful and wonderful. But 9 times out of 10, it's a studio taking that kid to school and saying, okay, honey, have fun at school. Now, remember, if anybody asks you, we're not related. You don't have parents. Fucking, you know, you don't have any parents, but I'll be here to pick you up after school. And you know, what happens. Or if you don't do a film that's about some 20-something fucking hipster from Sympathy.
I fucking love this guy, Gary. Crisis.
You know, that's what it is. It's like dun 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 dun.
But make it a found film footage movie, though.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Make a found footage movie. Perfect.
It is. Unless your movie is about, you know, some guys who, you know, spend thousands of dollars to look like they're poor, and they're all sitting around going, oh, God, I don't know what to do with my life. My dad's doing coke again, and oh, my God, my mom lives on the – my mom lives in Colorado. Let's go on a moped journey to go see her. Fuck that. That movie.
There you go. There you go.
Unless it's, you know, unless it's that, or it's like a secretly studio back thing, like that's those are the movies that kind of make it at Sundance, and like independent cinema has really been squeezed out. So I've been doing interviews with like Film Festival Flicks, which is a great little independent thing here in Los Angeles, where they're trying to kick out independent movies. Gosh, and I see just brilliant movies coming out of the independent realm, but they're just. It's like we have more things, quote unquote, to promote independent cinema, or so they say, but they don't truly promote independent cinema.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
They but they have wide audiences, so they're very attractive to studio people and the like to promote, you know, this movie and that movie. And so they give preferential treatment to those movies because that's what they want. They want more hits. Money talks. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's that thing. So I appreciate guys like you. I appreciate independent bloggers, you know, geeks that are out there, geeks podcasts, like all these different people that are out there that are really, you know, like, hey, let's talk to the independent filmmaker and see what they're doing. And it really helps, man. It makes a difference.
Jason, how bad do you want to work with this guy?
We'll talk about that after we get off the
Sounds good. Adam. A pleasure, my friend.
Thanks so much.
Man. Absolute pleasure. I think this is just the beginning, man. I think you're about to ready to explode, dude. I honestly do. I couldn't be happier. You know, this was one of those situations where it was well worth the wait. Sometimes when, you know, people go through miscommunications with guests and I eventually get them on, it's like, well, it wasn't really worth it. Me and Moreno just had one, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago. Huh? Yes. Who was the guest? Well, we'll get off the air and I'll mention it to you.
Is that the porn chick?
Yeah.
I'll give a fuck. I'll name names.
There you go.
If I can remember it, though.
Did that even air? Did you guys even
post it? Oh, yeah. We posted
did.
It.
We did.
Okay. We posted it. But, you know, what I'm saying is you came through full force, man. Absolutely. I couldn't be happier to have you on the air. You are welcome anytime. Get fucking Ken Lynn on. Get him on. I would love to talk to him as well.
Yeah, he'd be great, too.
You know what's funny, man? I mentioned this podcast. I was like, hey, man, I'm doing this podcast. And he's like, oh, my God. He's like, that podcast, I fucking listened to that podcast.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's great.
Rock, yeah, bring him on.
Bring him on. Sure.
Anytime.
I'll get him on.
Around the time Man Down comes down, just have him on or Synapse or whatever, man. We'd love to talk to you guys. All right?
Awesome. We'll make it happen.
All right, my friend. Good luck with Shinedown. Good luck this year. And we'll talk soon, all right?
All right, brother. Thanks so much.
All right. Have a good one, Adam.
Thank you, guys.
Later. Yeah,
thank you, Adam. Great show.
It was real good, and it ended up being pretty good.
Yeah,
is Moreno asleep?
Man. No. I'm hanging on like by a thread.
His Skype profile picture, I imagine that's exactly what he looks like. Right?
Except the outfit's
real. Just stroking his cat, drinking his bourbon.
Oh, yeah, that's... Yeah. I have no word. I realized during the interview I had like 90 questions. But that was like a fucking hour went by. And I was like, oh, shit, I missed my chance.
I'm sorry. I should have swung it to you a couple times. Sorry.
No. That I'm saying my reaction was so fucking delayed. I was like, oh, that's right. We're not talking about that anymore.
I had questions as well, but the guy kept talking. It was so interesting on a lot of different levels. I was just
that's definitely one
there's
of
no
those.
Reason to fucking ask their question.
That's definitely one of those things you just hang back and let the guy talk because obviously he knows how to talk. He knows how to do an interview. He knows how to, you know, hold a captive audience. And he did. It was fucking awesome.
Absolutely. And he just sent us some notes saying we're amazing. So
that's great, man. I hope to hear from that guy soon.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, Marino, you get some rest, all right?
All right, boys.
Oh, we'll talk soon for sure.
Should we keep this on the podcast? This after the interview?
Yeah.
if it works, do it. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, keep it on. Keep it on. Yeah, have the after show.
There you
the
go.
The after show.
The after aftertaste.
Post aftertaste.
For Jason Morris, Garrett Collins, and the greatest aftertaste guest, I don't want to, you know, begrudge anybody who's been on before. But Adam Simon was pretty fucking great. See you
later.
You've been listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network on BingeMedia.net. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Buy some merch at BingeMedia.net/shop. Subscribe to our newsletter at BingeMedia.net/newsletter. And don't forget,
I can't get enough of soup.
Bob Odell.